Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Expect that you will be successful in what you're doing. Expect it. It's a given. If you're doing all the right things and you're doing, well, the things that you think are correct in growing your business, why wouldn't it happen?
Hey, dreamers, you are listening to Wear Your Dreams, an amazingly inspiring podcast where we speak to the coolest girl millionaires, girl bosses, and fashion entrepreneurs. If you've ever dreamed of creating your own business, then this podcast will give you all the tips, advice, and inspiration to make it happen. Lego.
Hey everyone, welcome to Wear Your Dreams. I'm Alice Louis Vuitton, founder of Bemi, and today I have a very special guest. I'm talking to Luba Tolkachev. Now, Luba is a successful entrepreneur and self-made millionaire. She is the co-founder and director of New Media for Gravity Media, which is a leading cultural advertising agency in New York City. Luba gained years of marketing experience while working for global brands like Coca-Cola and Red Bull North America, and just last year she won a Stevie Award for Women in Business in the category of Female Entrepreneur of the Year. Luba, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, and thank you for such a wonderful introduction.
Now, I'm so glad you are joining us today, and I've said a very short intro about you, so could you give us a bit more insight into your personal life and background and explain a bit more about your business?
Sure. I'll start with my background. I was born in what is now the former Soviet Union. We immigrated to the United States, to the New York area in 1989. So we've been in the States for over 25 years. And I was only about 6 years old when I came to the United States. So New York and the States are certainly my country and home. But one of the best things that I fall back on a lot from the immigrant experience and, you know, just kind of having lived in other places and experiencing the immigration process overall is exactly what it means to have the immigrant experience. And I think that's kind of where our work ethic comes from, and the ability to build, create, persevere against odds that are sometimes against you. But that's kind of where and how life started in the United States. Since then, I did my studies in the States as well as in the UK. Most recently, I finished up my master's program at the London School of Economics, and the master's was in consumer behavior, which is very applicable to the work that I do today in terms of cultural marketing. And here at Gravity, we are the number one cultural marketing agency in the United States. And what that means is that we first and foremost pay attention to the cultural backgrounds of our target audiences. So whether it's country of origin, language spoken, behavioral trends, hobbies, and so forth, and build communications and strategies for our clients with culture first.
Mm. Thank you for sharing, Luba. Now, I know you are a woman who has had an amazing business journey. And so I'm really interested in finding out about the start of your business ventures. So could you tell our listeners the story of what made you set up your business and speak to us about the steps you took to make it happen?
Sure. I like telling this story because I think it's almost one from, you know, a business fairy tale. I also like recounting the story only because, you know, it kind of inspires me to go back to a time when we were very youthful and hopeful and, you know, things couldn't go wrong, which I'm proud to say we still carry a little bit of that with us. But in essence, my partners and I, we were in our early 20s and all working in advertising, and that's where we met. We had a couple of years working together in the past. We went on a wedding vacation. So one of our partners was actually getting married at in the Dominican Republic. Mm-hmm. And all of us came together and, you know, were part of this beautiful ceremony and just time spent with family and friends. And on the last day when we were going back and we needed to kind of go back to our real lives, we sat on the beach and we were chatting and talking about what is it that we want to do with the rest of our lives, which are conversations that we, you know, normally engaged in. And everyone kind of came back with the same idea. Hey, I want to do something for my own. I want to build. I want to create. I want to grow. I want to give back. And what we decided to do was actually start not an advertising agency, but a tech incubator. Mm-hmm. This was in early 2008. So tech in New York was just kind of starting. Mainly it was based out on the West Coast. And there were a lot of really cool projects and businesses coming up, and we wanted to be part of that scene. So that's in essence why we originally actually called our company Finder, because the last two letters were DR for Dominican Republic, where we created our company. We then came back to New York and we had to actually create the business we were aspiring to make. We did leave our jobs, came together, rented a one-room office from a colleague and started building, and faced a lot of hardships because tech was hard and it continues to be hard. So what we wound up doing was we started running a digital advertising agency simultaneously to building tech products. That's where the experience of being in an advertising agency in years past was. So it was something that we called upon and ultimately started going into the journey of digital marketing. Within a year, we understood that clients really needed a partner that to help them through the cultural, multicultural navigation of consumer segments. So we brought that together and put that under the umbrella of Gravity as the cultural agency here in the States.
And so still focusing on, you know, this early stage of the business, what was the most difficult part to starting and kind of how did you overcome this difficulty that I'm sure you faced?
I think looking, you know, hindsight is 2020, right? So looking back at that time, it's all very exciting and you remember it very fondly, but there were many difficult moments. Everything from not being able to financially support yourself or your employees. That certainly is one of the scariest moments in the beginning. We had one employee and month on month, all we worried about was making sure that he had enough, you know, we had enough money to pay him. But, you know, looking back at that time, we did have this enormous enthusiasm for the hope of the future. I think one of the most difficult things at that time is there's so many things to do and there's only X amount of people to do them. So you're always in go, go, go. You're always in busy, right? So, and because you're kind of, you know, you're first building your business and you're putting brick on brick and building that house, everything is a really big deal. So a file didn't go out, that's the biggest deal in the world, right? Yeah. somebody's late to a meeting, the world just ended. Yeah. And I remember, and I think that's one of my biggest, you know, changes in the last 8 years that we've built a business, that, you know, we're human first and things happen and not everything is world changing. And we're certainly doing very important work, but we're not saving lives. So to kind of take it easy on certain things. But yeah, that, you know, to answer your question, what were the most difficult pieces? Difficult pieces was keeping the lights on, as always, getting clients, making sure that we get paid. There's a lot of reputation building that you have to do when you go into a client service business. Mm-hmm. You have to showcase and show the ability of work that you're able to produce out of an agency, and that takes time. So in that gap between beginning and, you know, when you could show the proof of work, there's a lot of financial difficulties. And the second piece is just being extremely overwhelmed with things that are very important and things that, you know, in hindsight, are not as important as you thought they might have been at that time.
Mm. And kind of looking back, when you were faced with, you know, these difficult challenges that I'm sure kind of came every now and again, what kind of things helped you get through those moments? You know, did you have any, you know, could you give any practical advice of the, you know, or tips of things that you did?
Yes. Absolutely. You know, I understand that everyone listening to this podcast is in partnerships and people might be, you know, solo entrepreneurs, but I think it is extremely important to have advisors around who could help you navigate the beginning steps of your journey, of your business building journey. In our case, we did have partners who had different areas of expertise and interest. In which case we're able to support each other, because one of the things that we all need to understand is that we all certainly do need support, whether it's just having someone listen to you, give you a piece of advice, help you out with a document, etc. And that to me is the biggest piece of advice that I would give to anyone building a business. Make sure that there's a network around who is able to, who you're able to lean on. And that might have to be a number of people. Like maybe one person is there just to kind of hear you out and listen to the problems while somebody else is there to actually help you solve them. But in starting out, I think my partners and having the partners, having a partnership was one of the best things that happened to our business.
Mm. And how, you know, have you got any advice as to how one would seek advisors or I guess mentors? What's, do you have any tips to kind of do that?
Yeah, absolutely. We actually went through the process of building an official advisory board a couple of years back. Nice. So we did go through the process of, you know, a process of how to engage with advisors on a bit more of an official level. And first and foremost, I think that you need to identify who those people are that you want to seek advice from. So in our case of an advertising agency, we went back to see who are those people who have built successful agencies in the past and possibly at this point have either exited or are doing something else. They've had lengthy careers. They have a lot of experiences. They have a lot of advice to give. So initially, step one is just identifying who those people are, putting them down on paper, and figuring out, you know, as step two, how to best get referrals into those people. Mm. One of the things I'd like to actually, that I see a lot coming up, and we just had a discussion about this as part of a women's entrepreneurship group here at the office, was a lot of times people put down on that list, you know, the superstars of the superstars of the industry. And those people, a lot of the times, they don't have the time. They're on so many boards and everybody wants access to them. So I also recommend making a list of people who have had fantastic experiences, who you, you know, admire, but who might have a little bit more time on their hands because they're not, you know, in essence, celebrity in that specific field.
Yeah.
Yeah, very important. And then, you know, once you're able to get either a soft introduction or introduce yourself in one way or another and get their contact information, it's very important to make sure that you are approaching it in a very structured manner. You're prepared with, you know, a document, whether it's an overview of your company and what you're trying to achieve and what those numbers may look like in the future or now, etc. But it needs to be done in a very formal manner because you're asking for someone for their time and their advice. And that communication is one of the first documents that they will see from you. So if they see something that comes in that's thought through, buttoned up, you know, has all the reasons why they should do this, it's a lot easier for them to say yes.
Mm. Wow.
One of the things that we learned was that, you know, in kind of going through the process, most people, 99.9% of the people will reply to you at your request to invite them to be an advisor to your company. Yeah. It doesn't mean that they will reply with a, you know, favorable answer, but they will acknowledge your ask, and they will have a conversation around why they can or cannot. Out of the people who we've asked, and again, it's a strategic ask, so you kind of know, you know, the reasons why they would want to join before you're even asking, majority do accept. So you also have to be mindful about, you know, as you're kind of putting this together, how many people do you really need? Do you need 10 people, you know, on your, you know, newly advised, you know, advisory board? Can you really manage that many advisors? So we always recommend starting with 3 or 4. And then, you know, structuring conversations and meetings to be able to use their time wisely.
Mm. Wow. Thank you for sharing that, Lou. But I know my audience are really going to love that advice. And actually, I'm sort of going to go backtrack a bit as to when you spoke about when you first started the business.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when you said you know, you left your job and you had this enthusiasm and hope of the future. Now, I know kind of a lot of girls that have these big dreams and they're perhaps a bit hesitant to really go full in and leave their job. So I'm really quite interested in hearing about what was it that made you feel very confident that and have this hope of the future, and essentially you were able to have that confidence and quit your job.
So I think the optimism that I spoke to is a characteristic of entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm imagining that most of the people listening to this podcast actually do have that, right? Mm-hmm. So that's almost for them. They don't need to channel it somewhere. They have it in them. And what they need now is where I think, you know, kind of pen hits paper is a plan.
Mm-hmm.
So it's less about, you know, getting yourself psyched up about what, you know, the excitement and the enthusiasm. It's more about, I have that. What do I do with it now? And I always say that, you know, 50% of success is actually having a plan, making sure that that is a plan that is written down, thought through, discussed, and it doesn't have to look like a business plan that you submit to an investor or anything along those lines. It could be on a piece of paper that you got, you know, on a coaster at a bar. As long as you actually put pen to paper, I think it makes things so much clearer of where you're going. As part of that process, I strongly suggest setting goals, even if goals are, you know, very long term. You know, it's important to understand what is it that you're trying to achieve. One of the things that I find very helpful is making sure that the goals have a measurement standard to it. So it's not, you know, I want to, you know, be on the big stage at Tech Week, you know, someday. It's not someday, it's in 2 years.
Mm.
So like having milestones like that really helps. And then ultimately, because time, once you put this down, time passes and you forget, right? You forget how, you know, how hard you wanted it, how, you know, how much work went into it and so forth. So having a reference point to go back to and see, am I tracking well according to what my plans were when I first started this business is very, very helpful. I find that a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, female and male, it's, you know, it doesn't have a gender bias at all. They have the ideas, enthusiasm, but when it comes time to start planning things out, things fall apart. So I think having that plan, as I mentioned, is the key to any future accomplishments.
Mm. Thank you, Luba. And still on the same focus of the beginning of your business, can you describe what a kind of typical day-to-day life was like in the early stages, if there was a typical day?
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a typical day that has no typical pattern. it was just a lot of everything from putting, you know, painting the walls to putting tables together to hiring to hustling to figure out, you know, how do we position ourselves in market, taking advantage of any opportunity that came our way to meet people in the industry, to meet potential prospects and clients. A lot of our time was spent on pitching. Right, to pitching clients, showing them what our capabilities were, what we can do for them, how we could work together. a lot of our time was spent on talking about who we want to be when the agency kind of grows up and what we want to, you know, stand for. And, you know, a good portion of our time was also spent on just really being together as partners. Very important. It's very easy to forget the people who are closest to you, as opposed to, by forget, I mean not allocate time to sit together, understand where they're coming from, what challenges they're facing, what conversations should be had around personal, professional, etc., because these are the people who are holding, we're holding each other in building a business. So you want to make sure that you're having really good, healthy relationships with the people around you.
Awesome. And could you tell us what a typical day is like now?
Same. Same that there's no typical, but you know, a lot of our time now is spent really thinking about how our agency is going to impact the industry, how it's going to impact the voice of the cultural communities in the United States and beyond. We certainly do spend a lot of times with clients. It's a lot more on a strategic level because we in the last 8 years that we've been in business, we have been able to build a very, very strong team of extremely diverse talent that bring so much knowledge and expertise and just personality to, you know, to our company, that we are very much able to entrust a lot of the day-to-day to the team. And myself and my partners, while we have different, you know, kind of focuses on what we're taking care of in the agency, collectively, our job really is to set up the company for the future.
Nice. And so now, Luba, I'd quite like to hear a story within a time within your business journey when you literally felt like, wow, this is a dream come true. I'm literally living my dream.
Now, every day, every day that I could walk into the office and see the team that is here and know how we have impacted their lives by giving them a place to work where they are doing and working on passion projects. Walking into the office and seeing the potential that we have in our organization to support clients, to support an overall dialogue around culture, ethnicity, and so forth in the United States and now internationally, is an everyday that I walk in and think, this is a dream come true.
Wow, I love that. Thank you, Luba. And so now I really want to delve into your success in becoming a millionaire, as we do love to inspire our girls to dream big and have big goals. So Luba, could you share with us some, you know, what factors does it take to build a successful, you know, multi-million dollar company?
So I'm assuming that the listener has a passion for entrepreneurism, right? So, because if it's not there, it's very difficult to fake it. It's hard, you know, a lot of times you're in an environment where the decision is yours, you know, the fork in the road is yours to take, and you have to be able to do so with knowledge that it's going to be successful. And I think that, in essence, is the number one piece of advice, aside from having a plan, since we talked about that, is expect that you will be successful in what you're doing. Mm. Expect it. It's a given. If you're doing all the right things and you're doing, well, the things that you think are correct in growing your business, why wouldn't it happen, right? And that's just the mindset that everyone needs to have when they're building out. I think one of the, you know, definitions of being an entrepreneur is that you think the impossible is possible. And I think that the ability to really embody that and live in a way that your dreams are going to come true and your business is going to get built and it's going to be successful and things will be just fine, more than fine, is the only way to pursue this journey. Because, yes, of course, we all have moments of self-doubt, trust me. Even when you're, you know, the Bill Gateses of the world, everyone has moments of self-doubt. Yeah. But those are moments.
Yeah.
And you could use those moments as moments of reflection versus having that be your, you know, philosophy on life. I think as an entrepreneur, having a plan and expecting for that plan to be successful because you're doing the things that are meant for it to be successful is primarily the two things that you really need to own and believe in as you're moving forward.
Mm. And do you have any success routines or rituals that you could perhaps share with us?
Yes, absolutely. So I think it's important to be organized. By nature, I'm not an extremely organized person. I think many people who are on a journey to start their own businesses could be organized, but majority of us are not, because there's so many different things happening. And, you know, it's kind of difficult just to manage all these pieces at the same time. So I think tip number one is to try to really get as organized as possible as much as you can at the moment. It's just going to be that much easier years in, you know, years in as things progress and your workload and your business grows. Mm. I also believe, huge believer, and I have experienced this on myself, is the need for physical activity in your life, the need for moments of reflection in your life. And I know it's, you know, it's not what you're thinking about in your year 1, 2, 3, where everything is moving at a mile a minute and you just need to kind of hold on to things to make sure that they still work. But I think stepping out of the office and going to do a yoga class or having a run or anything along those lines is really vital to your mental well-being. Mm. I know that, and it's funny because my team also, if I'm not doing a lot of yoga, I'm not as patient. And I mean, we all have our things. And I know that really, fundamentally, it makes you a better business person when you balance those two parts. So organization and not forgetting about you as a person and you, you know, your body and what your body needs to be successful, not just your mind, is extremely important.
And what would you say is the most valuable advice that you've received during your millionaire journey?
I believe, I mean, I know, the most valuable advice really has been the belief that what you're doing will happen.
Wow.
Right? Put it out there. This is what I want. Write it down. This is what I will happen, and just believing in that, that's what's going to happen. And it might turn out to be a little bit different, right? But again, if you believe that what you're doing is worth your time and you're doing what you need to do to see success, whatever that is you define as successful, it's going to happen.
Mm. I love that. Thank you, Luba. Now, I'm really excited about the next segment of Wear Your Dreams, as we are now going into the triple love round. And I'm going to ask you three questions about things you love and why. So the first question is a book you love.
So I'm actually reading this book. I'm a very big fan of Brené Brown. Many of the listeners might know her. She is the social psychologist behind the theory of vulnerability, and basically being able to put yourself out there and have difficult conversations and have your honest face be out there in the public eye and being able to kind of stand behind what is it that you're trying to make. And she has this fantastic TED Talk that I highly recommend for all young entrepreneurs. Her name is Brené Brown. And her next novel is, or book, it's called Rising Strong. And the thesis of the book is how to get up after you've fallen, because if you put yourself out there, you're going to fall. You're kind of, you know, it's going to happen eventually. Something's going to happen that's not going to go your way in the short term. So this book really talks about personal experiences from her and a lot of other people in her, you know, in her life, and how they were able to get themselves up, dust themselves off, and keep going on their journey. Awesome. So it's something that it's a book that I highly recommend, and an author that's fantastic.
Awesome. And now a quote you love.
So it's a quote from our elementary days here in the States, and it's a quote that I teach my children till this day, and it goes something like this: good, better, best, never let it rest until the good is better and the better is best. And all that really means is just don't give up. You believe it, keep going. Mm.
And finally, an inspirational woman you love.
It's a hard one. Because I do believe that every person in my network and external network and so forth is inspirational, because it's up to us to find the inspiration in others. I do think that what Sheryl Sandberg is doing now is huge. I'm a big fan of her work, and I'm a big fan of the thesis that she's put out there in kind of the dialogue that's happening around women overall. I think she is very inspirational, and I think that just seeing her grow, progress into who she is and who she will be in the future is incredible.
Awesome. And guys, you will find all the show notes and info about Luba on our website at bemigirl.com. That's GBEMIGirl.com. And last but not least, Luba, could you tell us some exciting new things that you are doing today? What really has you feeling happy and alive in terms of your business or you as an individual?
Yeah, absolutely. So, as I mentioned, we've been building the agency for the last 7 years. We are at the stage where we're able to see things grow and teams grow and have really good dialogues and have some really amazing clients. At this point, I think, it's come time for us to give back on a bit more of a structured level in terms of conversations, advice, having the knowledge that we went through and being passed on to others. I'm currently working through an incubator for startups that have founders who are A, female, and B, who are of immigrant descent. So I think it is something that is very much in line with the thesis of our agency of cultural focus. And I think that there are certainly I know that there are many really smart women who come from immigrant backgrounds and might not necessarily have a very strong network here in the United States. So I'm building a platform around that to be able to support them in their entrepreneurial journeys moving forward.
Awesome. And when will that be live, Luba?
Yeah, I think that we're starting with kind of the beta events and conversations by end of this year, so okay, right before the holidays, and then it's going to roll out a bit more formally in the beginning of 2016.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing. And can you share with us one amazingly inspiring piece of advice that will help the Wear Your Dream listeners achieve their dream of becoming a millionaire girl, starting and building a successful company and living the life that they dream of?
I think my advice is that it's not a dream. It's reality if you want it to be, right? So my piece of advice is treat it as it's yours. It's going to be yours, and take advantage of all the wonderful resources that are available to you in this incredible network of women entrepreneurs internationally. I'm based in the States, but I know the network is extremely strong worldwide. So take your dream, make sure that you understand it's going to become reality, and take full advantage of the network that you have available to you in making this reality yours.
Awesome. And Luba, let us know, how can we get in touch with you and find out a bit more about your business and any other projects you have coming up?
Sure. Do you want me to do my email here, or do you want to leave it in the comments or something?
Yes, we can absolutely leave that in the comments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so please feel free to email me with any questions. I'm certainly available to have conversations around the topics we discussed around gravity, about cultural marketing and so forth. And I'd welcome the communication.
Awesome. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Luba. I'm feeling highly inspired, and I'm sure the Wear Your Dream listeners are too. So thank you for your valuable time and insights, and we will see you soon.
Alice, thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you, Luba.
Be well. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Dreamers, thank you for being with us today on Wear Your Dreams. You can find all the show notes as well as cool girl content on bemigirl.com. That's GBEMIGirl.com. We would love to hear from you, so drop us a comment and let us know your thoughts, and we will see you next time. And remember, girlies, anything is possible, so wear your dreams.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.